you're serious about private label and getting into private label and advancing with private label very, very quickly, here's a great opportunity. And there's only 9 slots left. So it's not like, hey, think about it. This is a pull the trigger if you're in and get in fast. It's Amazing Freedom Private Label Retreat in Breckenridge, Colorado, May 19th. Through the 22nd of 2017. You're responsible for your airfare to get to Denver and your way home. That's what you have to worry about. The rest is taken care of. All transportation, all meals, all housing. Oh, the house? It's a 15,000 square foot home. Yep, 15,000 square foot home. First class meals catered by an executive chef on site. He will make it right there for you. We've got private label 101 to 10001. I mean, it's everything you need. Finding products, bringing products to market. It's one-on-one personal training. It's a handful of people. There's only 9 slots left. Andy Slammons, Nate Slammons, Leron Hirschkorn will be there to help you be successful. This is not cheap, but it is advanced and it's compressed into a couple days. Here's the other great thing. Andy's going to partner with you on a couple products while you're there. So you have an opportunity to get into the private label game with Andy. If you're interested, there's no time to wait because there's only 9 slots left. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat.
Welcome to the e-commerce momentum podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce momentum podcast. This is episode 181, Stu Segura. This is a great story of figuring something out, having incredible success, and then watching it crumble and go away. And then wait, the phoenix rises and success happens. And that's really the story here, right? This is a person that works for his father, who had, father has figured out a business way early on, which I think is an incredible part of the story. And he doesn't do anything small. Wait till you hear what they were shipping. Massive, massive items. But the business struggled at a point. And it was not because of what they were doing. It was something outside of their control. How many times have we seen that now with eBay, with Amazon, with Google, with other platforms, other companies controlling what happens in your life? You've got to know it's going to continue to happen. And this is a great story of somebody who overcame that. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the e-commerce momentum podcast. I'm very excited about tonight's guest. This was a recommendation by actually 2 different people, and someone was like emphatic, like, you need to have this guy on. I love his story. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to understand some of the story, and I just think it's going to resonate with a lot of people, and I think it's such a great story. Stu Segura. Welcome, Stu.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. So well. You know, I've been watching your travails and escapades and comments out there. I've seen you out in the groups, and it's always positive. It's always uplifting. Is that your nature?
I would say not in every aspect of my life, but in business, it has to be. Because I don't know about you, but I've worked in the corporate field, and I don't want to ever go back to one of those jobs.
Well, actually, I am still in the corporate field today. As of this recording, I am still in the corporate field. I've been in it for a long, long time. And so I understand. I understand. It's a different, especially today. It's so different. You know, those, I'm older, way older. I have a son as old, almost as old as you. And so it's a completely different world today in corporate America than it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I mean, it really is that different. And so, let's go back though into how you became an e-commerce seller. So when you were in high school, did you have anything that made you an entrepreneur wannabe?
Not necessarily. No, I've always been into computers.
Okay. That was your thing.
I've always had a fascination with computers, technology, electronics, TVs, surround sound, things like that. So you could ask my parents. I broke way more than I fixed in the beginning.
I mean, were you taking apart stuff? Was that you got, you had all these things pulled apart? That was you?
Yes, that was me. I was putting viruses on my mom's computer, and then I was fixing it the next day.
What did you want to see what happened? Is that why you did that?
I don't know, man. Honestly, one thing, probably the thing that I love most about computers is I like to try to make them go as fast as possible, kind of like people in their car. So I was always tinkering with things like removing certain features to make it go faster and stuff like that. I was always trying to use the latest software, and a lot of that latest software back then was with ads and stuff like that, and I eventually ended up getting viruses, so I learned how to fix that through you know, my parents getting mad at me.
Sure, I understand.
Obviously they didn't want me to break in the computer.
That's funny.
So but yeah, I guess the start of my story before I got into business was I basically been an IT consultant for probably almost 10 years before I started working online. Networking, custom computers, building websites, stuff like that. Basically anything a small business would need. I did that for many years, and I really did like it. And one day my dad is actually the founder of this business, and he had been selling greenhouses online.
Wait. You sell a greenhouse online?
Yes.
Like, I mean, that's bigger than a bread box. Yeah. That's a big, big, big item. That's a lot of shipping.
Yeah. Not everyone that we used to sell, and we don't sell much of them anymore, but there was a lot of them that would have to go LTL.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't going LTL, it might have been anywhere from 5 to 9 boxes that were 40, 50 pounds a piece and going FedEx. But we were importing them from China. So this is basically our private label.
So wait, so they were coming to your house? They were coming to your house or a warehouse or something?
Well, my dad bought some land and he put a warehouse on it.
Okay.
And when he first started, I believe the warehouse was about, I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000 square feet. This was probably, if I had to guess, 12 years ago, something like that. And in the beginning, he was selling these little electric scooters, and then he started selling these canopies. And then when he moved into the greenhouse is when he started doing well. Hmm. And this was before the peak. And he's like, Stu, I need you to come work for me. Because he had computer problems. He had website problems. And so I was like, okay. And so I come work for him. We built a couple more websites. We got the greenhouses up to, I don't even know what the numbers were, but it was in the multi-million sales level. And this was not on Amazon.
Okay,
most
so this was
through our own websites, through like search engine optimization. So okay. We weren't having a kickback to Amazon.
So this was in the days of when, you know, websites were just really starting to become prevalent, right, and prominent. You could still utilize search with the links and all that kind of jazz, right? Am I in the right time frame? Right, backlinks and all that kind of jazz?
It really wasn't that. Yeah, you were able to do that. That's considered like almost black hat now.
Right. But that was normal then, right? That was the way it was done.
Yes. And that's exactly how ours were done.
Okay.
And it worked. And my brother, along with a couple other people, including myself, at one point in time, if you would search the word portable greenhouse, we would have probably 4 out of the 10 first page search results.
Did they all point to the same website, or did they point to different websites?
They pointed to different websites. We have probably 8 or 9 different greenhouse websites. They're all different named. Most of them are different themed. A lot of them you wouldn't be able to tell that they're the same company unless you look at the about us.
Okay, so why would you want to do that? Because I saw that note earlier and I thought to myself, I'm like, why would you want to have multiple? Are they different pricing points? Are they different features that they're different enough that you would attract a different type of buyer?
Well, okay, let's say somebody doesn't like product A. If you have product B and it's basically identical, it's just a different name, then you're probably going to get the traffic because they're going to move from one to the other and they're going to say, okay, well, maybe the first one, they didn't like the feel of the website. Well, maybe the second one, they're a little more tired and they either like the feel better or they got tired and they decided, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and buy it because it's the exact same greenhouse.
So, and, well, I mean, so is it because, like, I mean, is that like the precursor to A-B testing? I mean, a split testing in essence? I mean, you could see, hey, yes, here's the green site, this is the blue site, and you could test it that way? Is that kind of the way it worked?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the way to dominate search engine optimization is if you have a certain keyword and every single one of those sites is yours.
Nice.
Then they have to click on your site.
So you dominated the first several sites and it was all the same company. And so if they bought from A, B, C, D, or E, it's all you.
Yes, you, but in a different website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all going on the same PayPal.
love it. So you built up.
Sorry, authorize.net is where we use a lot. That and PayPal.
That was way back. And so business is good. Everything's rocking. Life is good. And then what happened?
And then Google decides, you know what? This black hat stuff isn't working for us anymore. So they released an update, and practically overnight, our results went from first page to, some of them were on page 5, some of them we were on page 30.
So people stopped calling.
Yes. We still would get orders and calls, but not like before. I mean, there used to be days where we would ship out, I don't know, 20 greenhouses in a day sometimes.
No kidding.
And we dropped to like one every couple days.
And let me ask a question about that, because you're not the first person I've had on that has had that change their world. And I forget what they called that release, but it was that pretty much that same one when it changed, you know, their algorithm changed. And who would have showed up now in that first position or those first 5 positions?
Probably somebody like Amazon or Wikipedia, or there's a couple other greenhouse companies that have been around a lot longer than us that are actual manufacturers.
So they get trusted status? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And I'm by no means an SEO expert. And the only person that I know that truly is, he said, I can do it, but he said it's going to take $75,000 and 6 months to a year. And so we kind of looked at each other and we're thinking, that's still like an if.
Right. So there's no guarantee, point, right?
There's no guarantee. So me and my dad were basically the ones that kind of, he came up with the idea. We were already selling on Amazon, but okay, we were only doing MF. We did not know what FBA was. Okay. And I don't know how, but he found FBA. He introduced the idea to me. And this is at the point to where we were going from, let's say, multi-million dollars in sales a year, probably down to like 300,000 in sales. And we still had seven people working for us.
And so I assume you have inventory too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I still got inventory.
Okay. So you got all this inventory that was bought and paid for. You've got all these people standing around looking at each other, fighting over, hey, let me get that one out today because nothing's happened for the last few days. And then all of a sudden, this magical thing called FBA shows up. And when he brought that up, I mean, how did he sell you guys that this is the answer? Or did he not know and he just like, we got to try something?
Well, it was kind of like, we have to try something. Mm. But the thing that sold me, like I kind of almost didn't believe it at first because it sounded too easy, because back in the day we had a private label well before we did FBA, and I had certain days where I was shipping out over 100 orders.
Wow.
And I'm talking 5 hours, probably one of the non-funnest days of my life doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking something that was, you know, it weighed like 1 ounce, but you had to ship 100 of them. I mean, just do MFing that all day long is not fun at all.
No, so it gets old. It definitely gets old.
This FBA thing was like a dream. I was like, sure, we'll give up a little bit more of the margin, because there's no way to scale unless you have like a big team. And we didn't want to get into all that.
So when you think about that, now looking back at it, you had to give up some margin. And you probably looked at them like, oh man, we could do it cheaper. But realistically, looking back at it now, can you honestly say that you really did do it cheaper when you consider the guys standing around town? I always say that, you know, we had a production facility I just closed and for my day job. And our guys, when they worked, they were great and it was amazing and our cost was low. However, that was, you know, in the old days, it was 40 hours and then it was 35 hours of work and then it was 30 and at 20, but you're still paying for 40. So when you look back at that, could you do it as cheap as they could? So, or I guess that's my question is, was the margin really that much high or their fees that much higher than what you guys could do it if you fully loaded yours?
Are you talking about outside of Amazon or?
Well, yeah, when you were doing this stuff yourself, you knew what your cost was, right?
Oh, dude, we were making way more money.
Okay.
Way more money.
Okay.
But get you this, okay? Being that it was a private label greenhouse, they would send us a manual by the Chinese people, and the manual would be like 2 pages. And this is for a greenhouse that would probably take you and 3 of your buddies all day long to build. So the manuals were terrible. We actually spent a couple $1,000s on a video and 2 or 3 manuals on one of the greenhouses. We constantly had to deal with customer service issues like parts being missed. And we had to ship out parts. So the stuff like that is a real headache when you're dealing with, a lot of our greenhouses that would say have missing parts, they'd have, let's say, 8 to 9 boxes. And I'm talking big boxes, some of them up to 120 pounds. So you'd have to cut open a fresh one and try to find that part.
Oh, no. And it's always on the opposite end of wherever you cut. That's just the rule, right? It has to be.
Exactly. Now, I mean, over time, you know, we kind of pulled some of them apart, and we have, like, these shelves that we built, and they're all labeled to where things are. But it's like a Lego piece. Mm. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of pieces, and everyone is different. So that while it was definitely worth it, this is much less. This is a lot less headache than doing FBA.
And you gave up control, but you gained back your control in essence. I mean, you really did, right? Because you could kind of manage that, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about what did you do with the 7 guys that were working at the place? Did you keep them all?
Yeah, absolutely. We didn't fire anybody. The only people that have ever left our company were either left for personal reasons or they had other reasons where we didn't have a choice but to get rid of them.
Okay. All right. So that was a mutual.
No, we didn't have to do any layoffs. We live in the area where right now the oil field is down and there's a lot of people in the area that don't have jobs and we're thriving.
And would you say that FBA is the reason, period?
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
That's a big statement. I mean, like, without it. And so there's a lesson right there. I just want to take and pull back on this to make sure I get this. If somebody was using, you know, gaming the system, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way. That was the way it was. That was the way it was designed. And you were just taking advantage of the process that was given to you. But you did sell physical products by finding where the traffic really is now, which is Amazon, right? Because Amazon, I believe, has more traffic than Google in some, you know, depending on what it is, right? And so there's a lesson there, right? And so by moving it over to this trusted source and living within the rules, you can really save your business and move on. And I just think that's such a great story.
Absolutely, and grow. I mean, I think we have 10 of us now. And I wouldn't be shocked if we hired another person in the next 3 months.
Are you selling the same products plus?
No.
Okay, so you've moved on to other products. All right, don't tell me a story yet because I want to hold on. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Because, no, it's good because I just did another interview and I love the pivoting, you know, especially as you figure it out, right? Because you guys started to figure out this Amazon system because it's a different world than your MF world.
It is.
Way different world. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you took these lessons and then you pivoted, because I think that's just such a critical, important point. We'll be right back. Okay.
you know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plate. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you, solutionsforecommerce.com. Wow, oh wow, can you imagine shipping those big things? I mean, I just still think it's impressive that he figured that out way back and created his own private label. This is a great story on how to rise above that. You know, remember, you have a unique set of skills. You have learned something that is applicable in many different areas. And so to be able to find other ways to bring it and to put it into practice, I just think is such a great story. And it sounds like this company is really going to go places. They're really killing it. And again, it's because of paying attention and learning. Now, they make a big push for ACE, and they talk about how what Sam Cohen has done for them. And I know Sam is still always looking for clients, and you know, reach out to him if you're interested in that service. But look at what it did for them. It jumped them ahead. But there was no bright light. There was no shining moment. You got to remember that. You've still got to do the work no matter what. No matter what somebody shows you, you still have to do the work. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Stu Segura. And I love the story. I mean, I love the possibility of shipping 9 huge boxes of a greenhouse to somebody through the internet. They're not physically touching it, right? Where would they have bought one of these in the past? Like an Agway, which it would have been a place that I don't know.
I think like at some places, I want to say Home Depot carries some okay. smaller ones. You could find some, I don't know about any more, but at one point in time, you could find some small ones at Costco that were very similar to ours.
Okay.
But they didn't have the big 30-something foot ones like we did.
No kidding.
Now, we carried 60 different products, which was too many. That was something we definitely learned.
So that's
that
a lesson.
Way too many. Probably out of all of them, only about 15 to 20 were what I would consider top performers, and the ones we would carry if we would go back to that system.
How did your dad know that greenhouse, that he could private label a greenhouse in China? I mean, how did he know that? I mean, it's pretty big thinking for that far back.
You know, I'm not really sure. My dad has always kind of worked for himself. He's done, I mean, he used to own a blind and shutter shop where he'd do window treatments in people's homes. When we lived in Virginia, when I was younger, he was a real estate agent for probably like 10 years. And he was always, I don't know, he's always one of the top performers in real estate. So he's just always had this drive. And when you're in real estate, you're essentially working for yourself because you pay for the marketing, you pay for all that stuff. If you don't sell, you don't eat, you know? So I think it's just kind of in his blood. Now, as far as for finding greenhouses, everything else that he started out with came from China. And I think that probably what he did was he looked at the websites and were saying, like, there's not a lot of people selling different types of greenhouses.
Pro tip right there.
And then the margins was great.
Yeah.
I mean, after, you know, shipping and everything, I know for a fact that I think like the worst margin might have been 50%.
On big sale. These are big selling items. What's Amazon, one of these things cost?
What's that?
What did one of these things cost?
It depends on which one you would buy. We had some as high as retail, probably like $6,000 to $7,000.
Wow.
And I'm guessing our cost on that might have been like $2,400, something like that.
You know, it's just,
we could have charged way more. There's other people out there charging way more than us.
Yeah, it just, it to me, it's a pro tip for 10 years ago, you know, and it's really the pro tip that continues through today is look at where the market's going. Let's face it, at one point, you know, growing your own stuff was a big thing, right? Everybody wanted to, you know, to get back into that. And right now, you know, organic could be one of those big things, right? And the fact Absolutely. That you guys were, you know, kind of cutting edge on that, to me, that's just so, such a great tip, and staying with the market like that. I love it, love it, love it. Okay. So you decide, who decides that perhaps we should try different products on this FBA thing other than 1,000 pounds greenhouses?
Me and my dad decided, because the way things were going, we were either going to have to start letting people go or find a new means of income. And we decided on this Prime thing. We bought a course, did not follow through with the course. Maybe we probably looked at just enough to start. And then we're buying. I mean, in the beginning, we were buying 300,000 rank stuff. We didn't know what we were doing. We slowly learned as we went.
I mean, were you scanning in the stores?
Yes, using our phone. Yeah, this is way before we had Bluetooth scanners. We were scanning using the Amazon Seller app.
Okay. And so you started doing RA big time.
Yes.
And because you were trying to keep all these people busy, right?
Correct.
And so you've got a lot of responsibility to scale. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's kind of overwhelming to think that you would want to keep five other people busy. You got to buy a lot of stuff. Did you have success buying a lot of stuff?
We did. I want to say, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think our second month we did like $30,000. And it just kind of slowly went up from there. We started, I don't think we made our first sale until May of 2015, but we decided, we moved everything at the end of April 2015, and we ended that year with $466,000 in sales.
So
we really hit the ground running.
With that $400,000, would you have been profitable with that many people on staff and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you really were careful what you bought then. So you bought real profitable things.
Well, we learned over time. I mean, in the beginning, I think we started at like Walgreens buying stuff on clearance. We understood profit and ROI because of our other businesses. We just didn't know rank in the beginning.
Okay.
And so, it took a little while to learn that.
But that learning curve, you're only learning one small piece of it rather than all the pieces. So that's a big advantage.
Yeah, but then there's other things we learned too, like shipping. You know, like in the beginning, we didn't know all the rules. In the beginning, when we first started, to be honest, we were treating it as if it was eBay. And we all know eBay, you can get something new that's been sock kicked once. And in the beginning, we were doing that. And we actually got suspended probably 4 or 5 months into it.
Ouch.
And what we did, I talked to Jennifer Coulson, and I wrote the plan of action, because that was the turning point where I realized I could not treat this like eBay. That everything had to be pristine, that everything had to match 100%. We had her help. I wrote the plan of action, and she revised it, and we changed everything. Everything we sent out after that day was like a 9.5 out of 10, unless if it was anything lower than that, we either wouldn't send it or it would go as used. Ever since that day, we followed every policy that Amazon has. So anything new that we would do, I'd watch videos on it from Amazon, and I would probably read the I call it the law, like 4 or 5 times. Like, for example, this week we shipped our first pallet, and I had never shipped a pallet to FBA before. So I watched a couple videos on that and, you know, read all the rules and got our first pallet out. It hasn't even been picked up yet, but when I did that yesterday.
Well, I have a question for you on that.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, how do you take a workforce that's used to doing business one way, right? So, and I don't want to, please don't take this as an insult, and I don't mean it as an insult, but maybe a little sloppy, you know, I don't know if that's a fair statement, in operation, hey, let's get it out. We're just in a volume mode. We just need to slap it in, you know, because we all get boxes from, if you order from Toys R Us. You know, giant box, one item in it, right? Smashed up every time it comes, right? That kind of thing. Or yeah. Kmart or, you know, Kohl's, any of those kind of companies. Just, it's terrible, right? Their e-commerce business. You guys were probably, you know, hey, this is big item. They're not going to get crushed. Just pack in a box, get it out fast. How do you change a workforce from that kind of environment to, whoa, we now need to pay attention to not only these steps, we need to pay attention to every step. Is that... I mean, because that's intriguing to me that you could take, it's not like you had to change. You had to cast this vision to get everybody to buy in, and that takes some work.
Well, we had to have multiple meetings, and we had to talk about it over and over and over. And I'll be completely honest, not everybody can work at our company because not everybody is cut out for it.
Okay.
Because, like you said, pivoting. Like, I've probably got 20 to 30 different job titles when I work here. You know, one day I'm the IT guy and the next minute I'm listing, the next minute I'm prepping, the next minute I'm buying, you know, so everybody that works here has more than one job. So we expect them to make changes as our business changes. And as time, since we started selling, we've changed software numerous times. I've changed the repricer, I think twice. We've done a lot of different things that we've never done before. And we just kind of, mostly either me or my dad, as far as the technical, I'm usually the one in charge of that. And I'll research the hell out of it and I'll test it. And then I will inform everybody. And usually the first however many times, I'll let them do it, but I'll be there watching them and telling them, hey, you either put the wrong supplier or you're sending this to the wrong spot, or I didn't want you to send that many, or this is on the wrong listing, you know, things like that until they're comfortable with it. But I think it takes the right person to do this Amazon business.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, you have to be able to, it's this, but it could also be this, and you have to be able to parse that, right? Do you document your processes when because you have so many people you're dealing with?
I don't.
Okay.
We have some of them. That's actually something that was one of my goals for 2017 is to make videos on training.
Love that.
Because unfortunately last year, basically right before quarter four started, we lost one of our best listers. He ended up getting back on drugs.
Oh.
And we basically had no choice to fire him.
Right.
He wasn't showing up to work. But before all that, he was working like 55 hours a week and he was listing everything. So like basically I would go from an RA trip or whatnot and I would just hand him bags and I would go right back out. Like there was one point in time where Walmart had a clearance sale going on and I hit probably, I don't know, 10 Walmarts in a week really hard. And so I'd come in and I'd drop the bags off with the receipt and I'd leave and I'd go do it again.
Beautiful.
And he was getting it all out. Everything was great. I don't know what happened with him personally. And I have no ill will, you know, against him or anything like that. We're still friends. But he moved back home to Tennessee. And I hired somebody to replace him a little over a month ago. We decided not to do it during Q4. So we kind of just sucked it up and did it ourselves as far as, like, the listing.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got a new guy and he's been here a month and so far everything is going well. But I can absolutely see, you know, hiring another lister in the next 3 to 6 months. at the rate that we're growing, but you definitely have to have the right people.
Yeah.
There's so many different tasks that need to be done, you know, in order to keep this business thriving. You have to be on top of everything.
You know, you said you studied a lot. Now, were you in any of the groups, or did you reach out to any of the coaches out there to help you with your business?
I'm in a lot of the groups.
Okay.
I learned a good bit from some people, but most of what I learned was from doing. Now, one person that did help us move to the next tier was Sam Cohen.
Okay.
We're a client of Sam Cohen's.
So his ACE group.
Yes.
Amazon Consulting Experts.
Exactly. Yes. We teamed up with him, or we joined his consulting firm, I want to say back in September or maybe late August. And my parents went on a trip and visited his facility. And through some of the things that we saw there, we were able to implement, like using an expensive scanner to scan all the receipts, which then puts it in a database to where it's searchable with the OCR technology. So, like, let's say if you get a claim, an inauthentic claim, you know, I can pull it up within a matter of minutes, you know, rather than, like, digging through thousands of receipts. Because, you know, once you hit a certain level, you know, you've just got stacks and stacks and stacks of receipts. So it just made all the sense in the world to do that. And he also, kind of hinted to us that we needed to do shoes. And since then, we've been really big on shoes, and we probably went up, I don't know, $30,000 within 45 days of joining ACE, because we took what he said very seriously and hit it extremely hard.
And let me ask this question. Why did you feel the need? I mean, were you guys hitting a wall on your own, or, you know, because you were trying to learn it on your own, right? You're researching and this and that, and you're only one person. Why did you guys feel the need that you wanted to jump to that next level? And why, what led you to believe that that group was the right one for you?
Okay. Well, I'll answer the first part first. The biggest reason for me why I do what I do, my girlfriend's soon-to-be fiancé has Crohn's disease.
Okay.
And she's only 30 years old. And there's going to be a day, and right now I can't afford for her to quit at the moment, to quit her job. I probably could, but then the business wouldn't be growing as fast as it is. So my goal is to take it to at least the $3 million level, or bump the margins up a good bit, so that I can take home a better salary so that one day she doesn't have to work.
That's pretty noble.
That's one reason why I push it pretty hard. I also have two kids. I don't know. I felt like I was never born just to be mediocre, to be honest with you.
Ooh, that's a powerful statement, dude.
If I was ever interested in something, I tried to excel in it. Now, if I didn't like it, I could care less. Like school, I was like 9 hours from finishing in one degree and another 12 and minoring in another one. And I quit to make $18 an hour. This was probably, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, fixing computers. So I enjoyed working. I did not enjoy school.
But you enjoyed learning, because look at you. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Is it the formality of school? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't like, you take all these BS classes. Like, I was a computer science major for 2 years. And the reason why I have no doubt in my mind, I would have graduated in computer science, but I could not pass calculus 2.
Oh.
I took it 5 times. I made 3 F's and 2 D's, and you had to make a C to pass. And then I actually tried the last 2 times, like, very hard. And it has nothing to do with computer science or programming. And that's the part of school that I don't like.
Yeah, it's a carryover.
But this, like, because my boss even said, like, if you have a degree, like, I'm not just going to start paying you more. Like, it didn't matter at that point. Because what I was doing at school, I wasn't really learning a lot that was even going to help me at work.
Yeah.
I was just, like, kind of learning stuff just to get a certificate. You know, so if I would have went back and done it, I'd have tried to go to, like, some kind of, like, MIT school or possibly, like, MBA is what I would have gone back if I could do it over again.
Okay, so you decide that we're going to grow the business. We got to get it up to a size because I have a definitive goal. I have a plan for that amount of money, and I need to get to this level with these margins, that kind of math. You've done that. And so you reached out, and you guys were looking for someone to help scale it. Because you guys, it sounds like you had a pretty good process in place, but the fine-tuning, it sounds like that's what you got from Sam.
Yeah, and to be honest, like we were still growing before we met Sam. We look at like the consulting from Sam mm-hmm. as a new something that we don't know. You know, we've damn near mastered RA now with the help of Sam with shoes. We knew almost everything about RA. Except for obviously a couple stores here and there. And obviously I've never been into every store, but I feel like I can walk into most stores and find something profitable. But we were doing well before we got Sam. It wasn't like a, hey, this is an emergency. We're at this wall. It wasn't like that at all. What took me to Sam was seeing how big his numbers were. I think he was doing like $14 million a year. And I'm like, this dude's offering coaching, like, sign me up today because he's doing something a lot more times than I'm doing. And so he's got to know a lot more. And that's what took us to Sam.
And you've already said this, and I don't benefit in any way. Sam doesn't pay me a dime or whatever. But you guys took his advice and his process. Your parents were there. But you came back and actually acted on it, correct?
Yes.
I think that's the biggest lesson here is that, you know, we go to so many different training events, and if most people go back and I'm like, yeah, we should do that, and they go back and do exactly what they were doing, and then they're disappointed in the results, right? You guys actually went back and applied it. Love it.
Yes.
Right. Smart.
Yes.
Very smart.
In all reality, like, I mean, nothing against Ace, but, like, they showed us a couple things, but it wasn't like this epiphany or anything like that. It was just a couple things that we weren't doing, you know?
But those little things,
they matter.
They matter. Yeah, that's a good point.
They do. And honestly, like, I don't regret it at all. I actually private messaged Sam the other day because he had actually checked on me. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good. And we just briefly chat. And I'm going to schedule, because the way his coaching usually works is you schedule calls with him. And I usually do it like once a month. Learn new things. Like the last time I called, I learned to bulk upload sponsored ads, which is freaking cool. Nobody's talking about that on the groups.
Nice.
I don't think I've heard one person say a word about it. I made one post about it, and half the people I know, there's one guy who's doing double our numbers, never even knew you could do that. So they're doing stuff that nobody else is doing, and that's why they're at that level. And that's why, you know, I look to somebody else that's doing more business than I am, or even someone that's doing business in a different area.
Yeah, or a different way. And so I want to make sure we point this out again. So there was no epiphany. The clouds didn't open. The sun didn't beam down and you know, all of a sudden, magically, you know, the unicorn delivered the answer. It was basically, look, here's the process. You compared your process to it and saw these gaps in your process. You went back and filled in those gaps, disciplined, and boom, magically, you saw an improvement in your business. So hear that, people. And, you know, Sam is a great guy. Every one of these things, if you go back and apply it in your business, instead of saying, yeah, we do that. No, you think you do that. And then you go back and look at your process and you say, well, we do most of it. We don't do it all. And those little things are what brought you the big results. And I think that's a powerful statement because some people think, I'm going there for the answer. There isn't the answer. They don't have the answer.
No, nobody's ever going to give you a tip that's going to put $10,000 in your bank account tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's going to put $10,000 in your bank is you going out and putting the work in. Mm. That's what a lot of these sellers that aren't making it, they're not working hard enough.
Well, and because this is an easy business, right? This isn't hard work, right? This is simple.
Yes, it depends on what level you want to go to. Hmm. And now I love it, so it's not hard for me. But now definitely there are certain days where it is challenging. But overall, compared to a lot of businesses, overall this is an easier business than certain other firms, like starting, I don't know, a new practice in a city you've never been in.
Right.
But it's all kind of the same thing. You know, you start from the beginning and you work your butt off. And then if you work hard enough and, you know, make the right decisions and win more than you lose, then you'll succeed.
And invest in yourself. The investment you took by taking Sam's training and coaching, right? That's the difference, right? You've got to invest in yourself. You can't see it as an expense. No, this is training cost. There's a difference between the two. And I think that's just so important. You know, to me, we don't give CPE credits for e-commerce. I wonder if somebody should come up with CPE credits. Then all of a sudden they would have a little more validity, I think. And people would value them a little more. You know, one of the things that's cool to me too is that you guys still have a lot of places you sell on. So you're selling on Amazon, Amazon Canada, eBay, Etsy, Sears, which you're new on, Newegg, coming soon, Craigslist, Facebook, local sales, and 8 of your own websites. Still.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot of stuff to manage. How do you manage that? I mean, do you have people that are good at certain pieces of it, or is automation the key to your success?
Well, not a lot of it is automated. And to be perfectly honest, we're not doing the kind of numbers that we're doing on Amazon US as we are in all the other platforms.
No, and I think everybody knows that. I think everybody understands that.
Amazon in Canada and Europe and other countries, I kind of look at it as if like you would roll back, I don't know, 5-10 years in the United States, maybe even more. And to think like where we would be at right now if we would have started 5-10 years ago. So that's why I want to move a little bit towards more business in Canada and Europe. Because those are growing markets.
With the existing products you have or new SKUs?
Both. I want to sell them. I want to find out what the Canadians like, and okay. I want to sell it to them.
Okay. All right. You want to serve the market. Okay. Makes sense.
There's also Canadian people in the United States who will probably buy it too.
Okay.
I just look at it as even though we haven't made a lot of sales in Canada, it might only be like, I don't know, 20 or 30 since January. That's 20 or 30 extra sales that would probably not have ever happened in the United States. You know, so it's an extra revenue stream.
I love it. You know, what would you say, you know, and I think I have my own visions of what it is. What do you think your biggest strength as an entrepreneur is?
Probably that I don't give up. I don't cry over a bad sale or a bad buy or anything like that. I just move on. I think some people kind of take it to heart. Like I'm a big Gary Vee fan, and he always says like, don't be romantic with the way you do business. And I believe that's very true. Because it's going to change. Ours changes all the time. You know, we sell new products almost every week. We find new products. So how business is done today is not going to be the same as a year from now.
And you don't necessarily get any say in the change either, right? It happens to you, not necessarily.
Wave.
Yeah.
I heard a great saying. It's like a boat anchored during a storm. Will be destroyed or capsized, but a boat that flows with the waves will always make it.
Hmm.
It's going to be tough, but you ride out the waves and the waves eventually die down. I feel, you know, that's the same way with business. It's the same way with relationships.
Yeah, sure it is.
And all this stuff, you know, like Gary Vee says, it's binary.
Yep.
You know, you either put in the work or you don't. And as time goes on, you know, right now I love working at least 50-hour weeks. Sometimes I'll even work 70-hour weeks. But I do that so that way I can build it up to where when I'm a little bit older, I might be able to go to, like, let's say, I don't know, take an Airbnb in Colorado for 2 months. And I'll just work over the computer, you know, do maybe half days or something like that, and go on like a little vacation. And my plan is in, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, I'll probably have maybe 15 employees or so, and pay everybody, you know, to where they're comfortable and happy, because I want employees that are going to last for the long haul. And I want to keep them happy.
So that's your strength. You know, I think that's fair. I mean, I think what you're saying is fair, right? You're tenacious and you're going to work you through it. But you got to have some weaknesses, dude. What are they?
Let's see. Sometimes I overbuy.
Oh.
When I'm tired, I don't make as good of decisions as when I'm awake.
Well, you just told us you don't mind overworking, right? You know, I mean, think about it. What you're saying, you're talking both sides, and I'm guilty of it, so I'm not judging. There's no judgment, because guess what? I'm that guy, too.
It all depends, like, because there's times where I'll overwork, but I'm happy,
mm-hmm.
because I usually love what I'm doing. Now, I'll give you an example. I went to Georgia, what was it, maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month ago, something like that. And we went, my girlfriend's aunt is 42 years old and has cervical cancer. We took her to the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And while we were there, you know, I helped them at night and dropped them off in the morning. I would go out shopping. And the first day went great. The second day, I was striking out like crazy, and I felt terrible. I felt like this is not fun anymore. And after scanning probably 300 items, 250, 300 items, I only found like 6. And I had spent, I don't know, 2 hours there, and I was just kind of like burnt out. So I took a break. I kind of reset. I got me a coffee, and I found a totally different store. I ended up spending $5,000. So I think it has a lot to do with like your mental game.
Yeah, it's like catching your breath, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, catching your breath almost.
You got to know when to stop. I know that there's days like when I got back from that trip, like I just had to take at least one full day off and just kind of sleep in a little bit and rest because I was tired. You know, I drove there. So it was like a, I don't know, what is that, an 8-hour drive or something like that, with a trailer. So I couldn't go too fast. I think, probably my other biggest weakness is that sometimes I'll like emotionally buy, or maybe I won't check all the facts.
And that come back to bite, don't they?
Exactly, they do. They do. Sometimes I'll be okay, and I'll slide it right by, without checking, let's say, a keeper or something like that, or restrictions. I've gotten a lot better about restrictions. I check them way more often, but like usually when I see a brand that I've sold before, I'm not worried about it being restricted, unless it's one that like I know half of will be, like let's say Under Armour. Like half of Under Armour is restricted. So every single thing that I see Under Armour, I'm scanning an Amazon seller to see if there's a restriction. My weak list probably would be not checking all my tools when I'm out buying. Another weakness would be my employees are better off if I make buy lists. And sometimes I either forget to make one or I don't feel like making one because it's easier on me. But I also have a solution to that that I'm working on a solution to that. I use Scoutify, and in the history, it's automatic. It's almost like an automatic buy list, but there's no way to export it yet. But I'm going to figure out a way, because it's got to be saved in some kind of little file.
Right.
So I'm going to figure out a way around that one.
So even your weaknesses could lead to a breakthrough, and that's a powerful point right there, right? You know, if you're a Gary Vee fan, what he's going to tell you is be self-aware. So, right, and you're self-aware of some of the things that you know. And so if you could take and help bring them together into a way because it affects others, then you win. I mean, I think that's a win. So I like it. I like the fact that you know. I think that's the lesson. Well, you know,
also not the most organized person. That's probably another one of my weaknesses.
That's probably an age issue, and it's probably the attention span, because you clearly got a lot going on. I mean, it's hard to manage. You know, here's a piece of advice, right? So you guys will do $3 million. It is a much different type of management to run a $3 million business than is when you guys were doing 300 grand. It's a lot different. And when you hit that $10 million mark, which I'm no doubt in my mind you guys will, that is a much different business. It comes with different problems. And, you know, so that's just one of those things. You know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? And I think, you know, you've had some adversity. You guys pivoted. You guys took advantage of the market, right? You saw the market. You saw, you know, what you could do in it. And then you kind of got to a place where you had no choice but to make a move. And it was calculated, it sounds like, but you had to make a move or the business wouldn't have succeeded. And you guys did all that. Give us some help. Give my listeners a tip that you think they could go out and put into their business to move them to that next level.
I'm going to kind of quote Gary Vee on this one. It's probably one of my favorite things. A plan executed today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. I would say move forward even if you're only 60% sure about all the details. Like when I was working as an IT consultant, we would take on jobs that we had never done before, but we got it figured out. We took on an iPhone app, and we had never done any kind of iPhone programming. We went bought a cheap Mac computer that was used, and we learned, and we got it done. If you have that kind of mentality, I believe you'll succeed. Don't let it put you down when you make bad buys. Now, obviously, you got to make more good buys than bad, but it's going to happen. I look at Walmart's clearance aisle as Walmart being the expert in retail stores, and they still make bad buys.
That's such a great point.
The clearance aisle is a bad buy.
That's a great point. I mean,
because they're going to lose money in the end.
You know,
even the experts make mistakes.
Now, I think you're spot on. Is to you know, make sure that you realize there are lots of people make it look easy, but it isn't easy for them. Don't be misled to believe it's easy. It is not. Everybody makes mistakes, and I think you're example of Walmart's a perfect example here. The guys are experts, right? They own this giant IT world. They have this mega companies, and yet they still make mistakes. I think it's great advice. Okay, so somebody...
Amazon went down, I think, last week.
Right, one line of code wrong, right? Now think about that, right? That's a big deal.
You know they got they got Harvard grads or whatever is the best school in America. They probably got 100 of them on a team. And they still make mistakes.
Okay. Well, I love it. And so you have a group called FBA, Feed the Beast Always. Now tell me about that group. What is that group?
It's a group to help sellers. We trade tips. I try to give advice, encouragement to not only new but advanced and medium as well. We started the group right at about a year ago, when we were at ASD in Vegas, and I started it because I was getting all of these PMs from different people asking me for advice and tips because they saw we were selling a lot. And it was hard. It's hard to be close to somebody in a group that's got 25,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I started it. Our group's only a little over 2,000 people. It might be like 2,200 or something like that. I'm not out trying to gain members that aren't going to be involved.
Okay.
Because that's only a number.
So it's a safe place to ask a question. Yes. No charge, but you want to make sure they're real.
That's free. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. That's fair. And I'll have a link to that on the episode. Is that the best place to ask you a question to if they have one they want to follow up?
Absolutely. Or they can add me on Facebook or send me a message. I'm on Twitter, but I'm on Facebook way more than I am Twitter.
Okay.
But
and I'll have links.
At Stu Segura.
At Stu Segura. Okay.
And I post stuff on there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll have links to all that, man. You know, it's a great story. I love the pivoting. I love the fact that your father was private labeling before anybody knew what private label was. I love it. I love the fact that you didn't let, you know, 1,000 pounds worth of merchandise getting sold over the internet scare you guys away. And I think that's an adversity issue, right? Hey, we can figure a way around it and to do it. And then to really take advantage of the system and to run with it and invest in yourself. Again, there was
Absolutely.
No epiphany. There were no epiphanies. Well, you were doing most of it.
Even if I hit the $10 million level, I may hire a coach that's doing $5 million in a different field that I'm not mastered in. You know, because technically you could be doing probably like $500 million. Like, I don't even know what the cap is on Amazon. It's insanely high. So there's always something you can learn. I mean,
right.
I'll learn new tricks from a newbie, you know? I mean, I don't know everything, and I never will. But I try to learn as much as I can, and that definitely helps in business.
I love it.
You know, like, I encourage people to go to new stores, you know, be tax exempt. We're tax exempt in, I think, 6 states. You know, don't pay tax.
Right. No, these are all powerful tips. And networking, I assume you're a networker?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's why the group with the 2,000 members, that's the networking. That's the other powerful advice. Man, I wish you nothing but success. I can't wait to watch you guys grow, man. Just thank you so much. Take care.
Oh, not a problem at all. I really appreciate being on here. It's an honor.
Well deserved on your part.
I got asked to be on here.
So I'm the fortunate one, and I think my listeners are too. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Are you looking for inventory this time of year?
I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are $1 million-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you.
These kind of stories are so inspirational to me. It's just so incredible to see somebody and a group figure it out and work their way through. Now, you know, this isn't the end of their story. I know that. I'm confident with that. And I just can't wait to get an update to see where they've taken it to. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.